and Michael Riedel in the morning
on 710 WOR.
As we launch the 8 o'clock hour, good morning to you, Joe Bartlett, filling in for Michael Riedel. What's doing? What's floating your boat today? What's really got you going?
I like the Omarosa story.
You do like the story?
Yeah, I mean, she
You don't like her at all?
Never did. If I had the opportunity, I would never have hired her.
Mm-hmm.
She's just... When you get involved with Omarosa, it will end badly at some point.
So, but I thought he only hires the best people. That's what he said.
Well, he's trying to give her a break.
Okay.
That's what he said. He was trying to give her a break.
Trying to help her out.
Yeah, exactly.
He had a lot to say about her, and we'll get into all of that. We have a lot of conflicting sound bites.
What do you call her, a dog?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, he did. Yep. Our big three stories. In addition to going after Omarosa, the president going after Governor Cuomo and Senator Gillibrand, but he ignored John McCain. Now, here you had the military bill named after McCain, and the president couldn't at least mention his name because he still annoyed at him over the health care vote. And
well, I mean, McCain really did him dirt.
All right, but...
You
wouldn't mention him? The bill's named after him? The
probably
appropriations
should have,
bill?
But you know Trump. I mean, McCain, at the last minute, sabotaged the vote that would have repealed Obamacare, one of Trump's campaign promises. Right. He could have accomplished that, but McCain all of a sudden gives the thumbs down, and obviously he's harbored a grudge about that.
Also in the big three, that FBI lover Peter Strzok is fired. The president gleeful about that. So is Joe Bartlett. And rounding out the big three,
Peter Strzok.
They're still trying to, how about Lisa Page? She still have her job, yeah. They're still trying to dry off in New Jersey. Little Falls remains under a state of emergency. So good luck with that. Coming up in the next segment, we're going to play another edition of Is It Real News or Fake News? A chance to win a rare WOR t-shirt.
Wow.
That's coming up around 8:23.
And even I don't have one.
You don't have one?
No.
No. Well, it's only to the important people, Joe. And coming up, I can't believe you don't have one. I'll get you one. And coming up at 8:30, the Turning Point Contest for Mets tickets. The Mets shellacking. Well, they beat them 8-5. Beat the Yankees 8-5 with 5 home runs at the stadium last night. And now for the Mets, it's on to Baltimore tonight for the 1969 World Series rematch. Coverage here on WOR begins at 6:05. Well, I know this interested you, Joe, so I'll give you first crack at it. This was Omarosa talking to Al Roker's wife, Deborah Roberts, on ABC back in the day, talking about being hired by Donald Trump, and here's what Omarosa told Deborah Roberts.
Donald Trump is racial, but he is not a racist.
Okay, he's racial, not a racist.
Yeah.
I would never sit nor work for someone who I believe to be a racist.
Would never work for someone that she believed to be a racist. The words of Omarosa.
And by the way, I mean, and she was affiliated with Trump for 14 years. So, you know, she says, I would never work or have a relationship with somebody who's a racist. That is what she said shortly after she was fired.
I'm from The Apprentice.
No. Well,
that's what she said when she was fired here at the White House.
Yep.
Okay. So after she was fired at the White House, that's what she told Deborah Roberts. Here, once again.
I would never sit nor work for someone who I believe to be a racist.
Okay. But at that time, she didn't have a book.
Right.
So now she has a book to push, she says.
Masquerading as someone who is actually open to engaging with diverse communities. But when he talks that way, the way he did on this tape, it confirmed that he is truly a racist.
Well, she changed her story, Joe. You got a problem with that?
Yeah. And she's talking about a tape that doesn't exist.
Well, yeah, very interesting. She's referring to tapes. Now, the assumption is it's from tapes from The Apprentice, which this came up during the campaign. These tapes supposedly existed where the president used the N-word and other slurs, and it's all on tape. And Mark Burnett, the producer of The Apprentice, has the tapes. Well, the president tweeted out late last night that that Mark Burnett called to say there are no tapes of The Apprentice where I use such a terrible and disgusting word as attributed by wacky and deranged Omarosa. I don't have that word in my vocabulary, never have. She made it up. Look at her many recent quotes saying such wonderful and powerful things about me. A true champion of civil rights.
By the way, she did.
Until she got fired. Omarosa had zero credibility with the media. They didn't want interviews when she worked in the White House. Now that she says bad about me, they will talk to her. Fake news.
I don't know. You don't know what to believe with this woman. So discount it all. Just don't pay attention to her.
Is that what you do? Just discount?
Yeah. And obviously, based on her book sales, people are ignoring her.
Well, listen to what he tweeted this morning. This was 40 minutes ago. When you give a crazed, crying lowlife a break and give her a job at the White House, I guess it just didn't work out. Good work by General Kelly for quickly firing that dog.
Uh-huh.
Wow. And I only surround myself with the best people. Have a nice day. No,
he didn't say that.
No, he didn't. I didn't, but I just added that as a PS.
Yes, right.
More and more stuff coming out from the book. She's saying that he has a Coke habit, meaning Diet Coke, and she says that's the cause of his mental and physical decline. So now she's Dr. Amorosa.
You know what? Just stop.
Stop?
Stop.
You're the one who said you thought that was the big story today.
Well, it is a big story because it's been trolled by the media here for like two straight days now, and you don't know what to believe.
Well, this is a book.
I don't think you believe any of it.
She says in the book, the world is yet to learn about the extent of Donald Trump's Diet Coke habit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. He always had one on his hand as far back as I've known him.
So what?
He's up to 8 cans a day at least. 8 cans a day for the last 15 years.
Impeach him.
43,800 yep. cans of Diet Coke poured into his system.
Yep.
In the White House, he just pushes a button in a wooden box on his desk. He can summon anything with that button. Whenever I went in to brief him, he'd push the button and get us Diet Cokes.
So what? I mean, that's what a president has. He can get anything he wants.
Yeah.
Push the button, they'll bring it to you.
Let's see. She said, I researched it, found a brand new study by a team of neurologists from Boston University that linked Diet Coke consumption with dementia and increased risk of stroke.
Well, it's not good to be doing that. It's not good to drink that much.
Right.
But it's not an issue, Len. Not an issue.
He kind of unravels from day one in the White House. Oh. And how I saw very early on that he wasn't really fit to hold the office of the presidency.
Really?
Yeah. She's a great judge of character.
He doesn't know how to control himself. He has no impulse control. And he doesn't have the tact for the presidency. It's actually really sad to watch him become unhinged, no pun intended.
He does have impulse issues. He's
very impulsive, absolutely.
Yes, he does.
And is that negative? The guy's been pretty successful.
Well, you don't want him to be impulsive when it comes to the nuclear code.
Well, there's safeguards to that.
Okay, good.
He was being prepped by Hope Hicks and the comms team to say that the DOGA had come up with this memo so that they could justify the firing of Comey.
Do you think that Omarosa was involved in any of these high-level discussions?
No.
Of course not. How would she know anything?
Well, you know what I want to know? I want to know what Rudy Giuliani thinks, don't you?
Yes.
She's certainly violating national security regulations, which I think have the force of law. I would think she is. I mean, I have to look at it more carefully. And is she violating every bit of trust that people should have in someone? I mean, Donald Trump made her.
Yeah.
Yep. I mean, what kind of ingratitude is this?
So what did she break any kind of a law by recording in the Situation Room, do you think?
My understanding is she did not break any law because there was no state secret being discussed. But if she was taping and there were, high-level secret conversations going on, that would be against the law. It is against White House policy to record in those situations. In the Situation Room and in certain areas, you're supposed to leave your phone outside those rooms.
Right.
So it's a violation of White House policy.
Now, what do you make of the president admitting that he has non-disclosure agreements with employees? Doesn't that violate some kind of government ethical code that you need transparency in government? You shouldn't be signing non-disclosure forms?
No.
Of course you wouldn't.
No, no, no. I don't like the fact that once you leave government, you're free to discuss everything that you've ever done.
Well, what's wrong with that? As long as you're not giving away top secret information.
Well, who's to make that judgment?
Well, if stuff has been called top secret, just ask Hillary. If it's top secret, you're not allowed to have it on your private email. You're not allowed to send
Speaking
it to anybody.
Speaking of which... Yeah. Trump is tweeting about that.
I'm sure he is.
He's quoting Greg Jarrett, who was on Fox and Friends.
Right.
They were all in on it. Clear Hillary Clinton framed Donald Trump for things he didn't do. He's talking about, the witch hunt.
Gotcha. Supposedly, Omarosa has recordings of Jarrett and Ivanka. That should be some fascinating conversation.
So what's for dinner, honey?
let's see what she said about Oh, she said that Trump was very unhappy when Don Jr. revealed the information about the Trump Tower meeting. According to Omarosa, President Trump called Donald Jr. a F-up after he released emails about the controversial meeting with the Russian lawyer. He's such a F-up, Trump said of his son, according to Omarosa.
Well, that may be true.
He screwed up again, but this time he's screwing us all big time.
That may be true.
Oh, boy. This story's not ending.
Is she going to be in a position to make that kind of, to hear that? Why would she be sitting next to him when he said that?
They're ordering Diet Cokes from the wooden box. I don't know. We get back the Mets Turning Point contest, and if you want to win a rare WOR t-shirt, it's time for another edition of Real News or Fake News. If you want to play, give us a call, 800-321-0710. Time to look at the traffic on our roads and highways and byways. Let's go to Bernie Vite. This is unbelievable. There was a violent storm in Genoa, Italy, and this bridge, a major bridge, collapses in the industrial city. Cars go flying. Cars crushed below. There's going to be a lot of deaths there. Just a terrible story.
I think they're talking about 11 people, right?
So far. Yeah, right. Genoa, Italy. Anyway, you want to play Real News, Fake News?
That's a good idea. Let's do that.
Yeah, let's cheer. So what we do is, we read you a couple of headlines, and you decide which one is fake. And it's our favorite game show.
Len Berman and Michael Riedel present Real News or Fake News. You decide.
And today it's Joe Bart. Have you done this before, Joe?
I have, yeah.
Are you up to the task?
I got it.
All right, let's start. Linda wants to play in Whippany. Linda, how you doing? What's up?
I'm fine. Ready to play.
You are? Come on down.
I'm there.
Okay. We got you. That's the come on down music. What's going on here? What is that? Is that the Real News, Fake News?
What?
No, I guess. All right. I don't know what's going on here. Anyway, are you ready? Linda, what are you doing Whippany?
Linda's ready. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Ready to rock and roll.
What are you doing Whippany, Linda?
Well, I'm retired. I used to be a accounts payable clerk for ShopRite.
Really? Did you pocket some of the money the way the ladies did up at the school cafeteria in New Canaan?
No, not me.
Okay. Did you hear? Believe that? $500,000 they pocketed.
Amazing.
Working in New Canaan. All right, here we go. Two headlines for you. You tell me which one is fake. Headline number one. 5-year-old can name 195 cities and recite Shakespeare. Headline number two. Entire high school student body ditches school for movie premiere.
I think the second one is fake.
The second one is fake.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
You won a t-shirt. How about that? I haven't had a winner on mine in a long time. That's very good. You are entirely correct. The entire high school body did not ditch the movie for a premiere. A 5-year-old from Sydney, Australia, can name 195 capital cities, and Esther Lee has been able to do that since the age of 2, and she can recite Shakespeare poems. So you are absolutely correct. You got the fake one. Hang on the line, Linda. You win a rare WOR t-shirt. Congratulations.
Very good. Congratulations, Linda. And our next contestant on Real or Fake News is Asher from Queens.
Come on down.
Come on down, Asher.
I got it right.
Hey,
there you go. You're the next contestant on Real News, Fake News.
Good morning, Asher.
Morning, guys. Morning. How you guys doing?
Good, thank you. What's your story? What do you do in Queens?
I work in White Plains. I'm a lawyer, but I live in Queens.
A lawyer. All right. Uh-huh.
So you'll be able to parse this one out.
I don't know if he's going to get to this. This is going to be a tough one,
Asher. My money's on the counselor.
All right. We'll see. Okay. You're going to have to tell me which one of these headlines is fake. First headline, the world's most expensive nail polish includes caviar. The other headline, a woman tosses coins into a plane engine for good luck. Which one is fake?
I think the second one is fake.
Second one is fake, huh?
No, is real, believe it or not.
Wow, she tosses coins in an engine?
Absolutely.
Doesn't it spit it back at her?
Well, it does cause a little bit of a problem. An elderly woman threw coins into a plane's engine for blessings.
Oh.
The flight had to be delayed for 5 hours while they collected the coins. 9 coins were found in the engines. If they had not been removed, it would have caused engine failure. So
where did this happen? Does it say?
This happened in
Probably doesn't say.
China.
Oh, is that China, sorry.
Sorry, right. Asher.
Oh, we had one winner. That's pretty cool.
One, that's good.
All right, let me give you a couple of other headlines, Joe. You tell me, real or fake.
Okay, fine.
Woman stranded on rainbow unicorn float is rescued.
Yes, that's real.
I think I saw that video.
Anyway.
A family dog runs away for a beach vacation and then returns.
Yes. Oh, that's fake.
You're okay. Wrong. There you go. Facebook ad for raw chicken teddy bear removed. What the hell does that mean? Blaine, what does that mean? Facebook ad for raw chicken teddy bear removed.
I think it's like the Build-A-Bear places, but she would put like hats and stuff on and little booties on raw chickens, and she'd sell them on the Facebook place.
And they've been removed.
That's got to be real.
So you were two out of three.
It's too wacky to be fake.
All right. Give away some Mets tickets.
That's the rule. All right. It's your time to get your Mets tickets. It's time for the Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the Game. Be the first person to correctly identify the turning point of the game from yesterday's win over the Yankees. And you get a pair of tickets to see the Mets take on the Giants August 21st at Citi Field. Call 800-321-0710. The Turning Point, presented by Chock Full of Nuts, New York's coffee since 1932. To purchase your tickets, go to Mets.com/tickets. 800-321-0710. Be the first caller with the Turning Point, and you get the tickets.
Now, when you were doing, you do the news every morning when Michael Riedel is here with me, right?
Yes.
Have you ever missed the newscast?
No. No.
Well,
not that I know of.
Well, the news was scheduled to begin 25 seconds ago.
I got to tell you, the clock in the newsroom is a little off.
Yeah. Do you see Mike Bauer anywhere?
No.
Nowhere. Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So do you want to do the news?
Yeah, let's talk about Omarosa.
Okay, what would you like to say? let's do our own newscast.
You know, I'll tell you the story that bothers me the most, this Google story.
Oh, yeah. What is that all about?
They are watching you wherever you are. Now, with your phone, you have location services. You can turn it off.
Right.
But for some reason, even if you turn it off, they know where you are.
Oh, look who showed up. Glad you could make it. Did you get lost on the way to the studio?
I got confused and couldn't make the right turn when I needed to make the left turn.
All right. Now with the latest news headlines, here is Mike Bauer.
Good morning, guys. Flooding in Little Falls, New Jersey is devastating. More than 100 homes have been damaged. 32 are uninhabitable. Governor Murphy toured the area yesterday.
You look at the lives who have been disrupted. In some cases, as it relates to their homes, perhaps permanently. And as I say, it's heartbreaking.
Also, big problems in Brick, New Jersey, which received 8 inches of rain yesterday. President Trump is begging Governor Cuomo to run against him in 2020. Trump was in Fort Drum, where he disparaged the governor's record, criticized the state's high taxes.
Now, he called me and he said, I'll never run for president against you, but maybe he wants to. Oh, please do it. Please. Please. God. He did say that. He did that. Maybe he means it.
Trump also blasted Senator Kristen Gillibrand as somebody who hasn't gotten anything done. And finally, a Texas woman has become an online sensation, guys.
How so?
People are begging for her makeup tips. She also just had to do that by getting arrested. Now, Marcella Perkins, who was busted on marijuana charges back in February, had her mugshot go viral thanks to her flawless makeup.
Huh.
It just so happens that hours before her arrest, she did a makeup tutorial on Facebook Live. So that's why people, when they saw her, Googled her, searched her out, and then people began reaching out to her for her advice based upon that mugshot and the videos therein. So Perkins saying, besides me going to jail, people are really noticing my talent and what I can do. End of quote.
All because of a mugshot.
Because of probably the mugshot, her marijuana deal that got her the mugshot, and then the videos beforehand. It's a pretty picture. She's got a great pink eyeshadowy thing going on some level. So
Mike, to get to the newsroom, you make a right when you leave the studio, and then make another right.
Right there?
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
You'll be there. But just come back at 9, all right?
You got it, guys.
All right, thanks, Mike. Coming up, we'll have the winner to the Turning Point contest and why it's so tough to land a job in New York City, and Cuomo and Nixon are going to go toe-to-toe. That's all coming up next. First, Bernie Vider with traffic.
710 WOR.
It is 8:39 on a Tuesday. Sun shining here in Tribeca, and we've got a winner of the Turning Point.
Absolutely. Leo Graham from Whitestone, Queens was the first caller to correctly identify that this was the Mets' Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the game.
Runner going, 3-2 pitch. Driven in the air, right field pretty deep. To the track, at the wall, gone! Into the second row. Jose Bautista lifting the Mets to a 4-2 lead here in the top of the fourth inning.
The Mets going ahead of the Yankees, and they stayed that way and won the game. And your next chance to win tickets is to listen to the next Mets postgame show on WOR. For the Mets, Chock Full of Nuts Turning Point of the game, the Mets in Baltimore tonight, and our coverage will begin at 6:05.
Yeah, last night the Mets hit 5 home runs. Bautista broke the tie. It was 2-2 at the time. And 5 homers.
5 home runs.
Went on to win it 8-5.
Off the Yankee ace, Luis Severino.
Yeah, they had, well, not all of them,
but yeah.
Back-to-back in the seventh. And I'll tell you, they have been in a home run drought, so all of a sudden they broke out of it. Now they're on their way, Joe.
Good.
Look out. Start printing those playoff tickets.
Absolutely.
Hey, this is interesting. I thought unemployment. Here's the headline in the Post. New York City's unemployment rate hits a record low. And it started keeping stats back in 1976. Unemployment hit 4.2%, according to the latest quarterly analysis by city controller Scott Stringer.
But who gets the credit, Bill de Blasio or Donald Trump?
You tell me.
Donald Trump.
Trump gets the credit?
Yeah.
No matter what happens, it's Trump.
Yeah.
Is anything ever Trump's fault?
Yeah, a few things.
Like?
Like hiring Omarosa.
He only hires the best people. Queens had the lowest unemployment rate, 3.4%. Now, if you're wondering where the jobs are, for example, in the quarter of last year, a lot of it is. Jobs were lost in construction, real estate, and property sectors, but where they picked up a lot of jobs, education, healthcare, social services, and also they were saying the private sector had a significant number of higher wage jobs that included securities and professional services, and that work pays an average of $220,000 annually.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
The latest figure. So that's pretty good. So if, but now, how do you explain that ridership is down on the subways and the Long Island Railroad?
Uber.
And Metro North.
Uber.
So because they're making more money and more people have money in their pocket, they're taking Ubers and not taking the mass transit.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the other thing, too, is I think sometimes a lot of people, younger people, will try and get an apartment very close to their workplace so that they don't even need any kind of transportation. They can just walk.
What are people going to do with this L train? I read somewhere that
that's going
to
be a
Williamsburg,
problem.
The rents are down, and it's tough to rent because, you know, they're not going to have subway service to the city. What, are they going to have to take buses?
Well, I don't think there is a bus there that'll get you, you know, maybe there is, but...
this starts
not
in the spring.
Not going to be convenient, yeah, and it's going to be for 2 years.
Yeah, yeah. Yep.
Going to make absolutely. It very inconvenient to live there.
By the way, now, I wasn't aware of this, but Governor Cuomo has not debated a major opponent one-on-one in at least a decade.
Well,
he did not debate his 2014 opponent in the Democratic primary.
Well, I know Zephyr that. That was Zephyr Teachout. Yeah.
Zephyr Teachout wouldn't debate. And it says here, according...
Did he debate Astorino? He must have.
Yeah.
Did he debate Rob Astorino?
It says in a decade he hasn't debated him. Oh, before we get onto that story, Arturo wanted to weigh in from Portchester. Arturo, who are you giving the credit for the low unemployment in New York City?
Well, of course, it has to be Trump, okay? Because it happens that when Obama was president, none of this was happening. When Trump is president, all of this is happening. When de Blasio has been there for, what, 5-6 years? Nothing happened. Now, Trump comes into the presidency. All of a sudden, the lowest unemployment, not only for New York City, the lowest unemployment for blacks, for whites, Hispanics, Martians, you name it.
Martians. Very low unemployment, Arturo.
Of the illegal aliens.
Yeah. Thanks, Arturo. I don't want to point out to Arturo that all the signs were pointing up, and he's just,
oh, you and the pointing, yeah, pointing up, but they weren't going up.
Trump, they were all going up. They were all pointing going up. They started with Obama. Now Trump is just reaping the fruit of all of Obama's great work.
If Trump were not elected, those things would not have gone up.
Okay.
By the way, we're at a situation now where there are more jobs available than there are people who are unemployed.
Well, I don't. Well, listen.
When was the last time you could say that?
Yeah, but the number of unemployed New Yorkers is 178,000. You're saying there's no jobs for them?
There's plenty of jobs for them. I mean, if you're unemployed right now, you want to be unemployed.
So what's your point?
There's jobs. You can get a job. There's no reason to be unemployed unless you want to be unemployed.
Okay, very good. All right. So says Joe. Oh, so I was talking about this debate. So Cuomo has agreed to debate Cynthia Nixon at Hofstra University on August the 29th. This will be carried by Channel 2.
That ought to be good.
And apparently the Nixon campaign agreed to the debate and had no role in negotiating the debate's rules. They don't care what the rules are. According to her top strategist, Cynthia will debate Governor Cuomo backwards in high heels if she has to.
Now, is this just one-on-one, or are they going to bring
in one-on-one. No, none of them debates have always... Whenever Cuomo's been involved in the past, he's included minor party candidates. This is the first time he's going to go one-on-one, Cuomo, Nixon, and it's a surprise, according to the story, that they didn't expect Cuomo to sign off on this.
He must be desperate then. He must know that, I got to do something to turn the tide. He's running ads like crazy right now.
Yeah, but he really is running a lot of ads.
Yeah, but you know, sometimes...
So do you think he needs to? I mean, the polls have him far ahead of Nixon.
Well, ordinarily, if you are leading by that much, you would not go into a debate because it can only hurt you. You can't help yourself anymore.
Absolutely. Now, what's it? The speed cameras, are they going to get this thing solved? Because this is kind of scary, these stats that came out, Joe.
Well, the Albany legislature will be coming back in session soon, but in the meantime, these speed cameras have been turned off, and they're not issuing any tickets, but they have been recording drivers who are speeding in school zones.
Okay, so back up. So even though there's no money, but they can still record?
They're still recording the speeding in the school zones.
Just can't send out tickets?
Can't send out tickets. And since July the 25th, they have been turned off. Since then, the speed cameras have caught 132,000 drivers speeding in school zones. Now, in many cases, schools are not open, so the school speed limit may not apply. But nevertheless, 132,000 people speeding in school zones, they have to be turned back on.
Now, what's the average ticket? $100? $150? I mean, what do you think the average ticket is?
I don't know. It's got to be at least $100.
So if it's $100, they've lost $10 million in revenue, $13 million in revenue.
Yeah. More importantly,
who's the revenue go to? Is it the city, state?
Well, they probably split it. But more importantly, I mean, you're going to have kids going back to school.
Yes,
you got to slow people down.
Well, I would assume now if you go past a school zone, you always get blinking lights if school's in session. I would assume that has something to do with all these speeders. Those blinking lights weren't going off in the school zones.
That may be. But nevertheless, I mean, they got to get back on.
All right, we return. We have a special guest, the mess in New Jersey with the water, and we've got the mayor of Brick, John Ducey. Do you know they got 8 inches of rain yesterday?
Oh.
Had to evacuate 100 homes in the area. So we got the mayor of Brick coming up to discuss. But first, let's see what's doing on the roads. Here's Bernie Viter.
710 WOR.
At 8:53 in the morning, we have Joe Bartlett filling in for Michael Riedel this morning. We're joined now by John Ducey, who's the mayor of Brick. He's right in the target zone. They had 8 inches of rain yesterday. John, welcome to the show. Over what period of time did you have 8 inches?
Yeah, it was about 2.5 hours.
Wow. And you had to evacuate how many?
We evacuated about 100 houses maybe about between 70 to 80 people that were in those houses.
Now, are they, like, mandatory? Do you knock on the door and say, you got to get out, that kind of thing?
Well, this was after the floods happened. So we had Zodiac boats going up door to door and loading the people onto the boats and having them, bring them right down the street in the water in the boats to dry high and dry them.
That's kind of a quick reaction. I mean, 8 inches in just a matter of hours, that really can cause a problem in almost any town. Do you have flood issues in Brick?
We do have flood issues in Brick, but not where any of this happened. So this our flood issues are in the southeast portions. We have the most waterfront property in New Jersey. So during Sandy, we had the second worst damage. That's all the lagoons, the rivers, the ocean front, the bay front. This is in the northwest portion where there is... really, no bodies of water up there. It's high and dry.
So you said you had these Zodiac boats. Are these like, which would be normal streets, or now rivers?
Yes. It was deep. It was eight feet at some points.
Wow. That's unbelievable. Now, you know, we were wondering, and maybe you have some insight. We were thinking about Little Falls and these other areas that have these flood problems. Can anything be done to mitigate any of that, or is it always reactionary?
Well, this one's surprising. Like I said, we have other areas of town that are below sea level, and they're right on the water. So those, any high tide, especially a high tide with a moon, the flooding comes right up through the storm drains. So instead of the flooding coming from above with a rainstorm, it's coming from below because it's coming up with high tides. So that is really, we're going to have to elevate roads, and people are going to have to elevate their houses. That's the only way to get people out safely. But when you elevate the roads, the water is going to get thrown over onto people's lawns and into their garages and things like that. But where this happened yesterday, this is you know, we're high. This is not, you know, this isn't lowland at all. So it's just, I'm not sure what we can do. We have to take a look. We had drones up to take a look to see where this water was coming from and why so much and how it went the way it did.
Is this just a matter of very intense rain for a sustained period of time as opposed to any sort of infrastructure issue that you have to deal with? Because it is kind of unusual to get that amount that quickly.
Yeah, I think what we dealt with yesterday was just the, you know, it's basically like 2 months of rain in 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
So it just, you know, overtook the different storm basins and storm drains.
Now, has the water gone down? Has it dissipated, or you still have them in the roadways?
It's gone down. The roads in Greenbrier are still impassable, and some of the other areas, New York Avenue and Burrsville Road, but it's gone down. It's not as high as it was yesterday.
So these people who evacuated, at what point can they come back?
So JCP&L had to cut all the electricity. So basically our inspector and a JCP&L person are going door to door. If the electrical meter was any way wet, then that meter comes off, and that's going to be a while. The other houses, they'll be able to turn on once they go through the whole process of going door to door to see how deep the water was.
Well, the other thing, too, is, I mean, there's going to be an awful lot of interior damage to these homes. Is this a flood area where people would have flood insurance or not?
No, nobody. Speaking with the residents yesterday, it's a senior community, and I'm talking to 85-year-old ladies, 91-year-old men, and nobody had flood insurance, and they're dealing with insurance companies. We did call a state of emergency, which should help with insurance issues, and we're hoping that the county joins us, because without their support, the state of emergency dies just locally.
Now, the governor, Phil Murphy, has talked about helping with resources. Have you been in touch with him, or what can he do to help?
Yes, the governor reached out to me directly, and right now we have everything under control. We're going to need some help with funding. There was a bridge that washed away and some other things, and the advice was basically declare a state of emergency, which we had already done, and then the next step is the county has to join us. If they don't join us, there's no state aid available because it doesn't get to the state level.
Are you expecting any more rain today?
No, I'm not expecting any rain. Later on, I think there's supposed to be some storms coming through about 3 or 4 o'clock, but I think it's kind of brief and fast moving.
All right, John Ducey, it sounds like you have your hands full down there. I can't imagine boats evacuating people from their houses. Thanks, John.
Yeah, no, thank you. I really appreciate it.
Okay,
thanks.
It's John Ducey, the mayor of Brick, New Jersey. And it really, I don't think we understand. You know, we look out the window here and it's dry and it's sunny. And we're in Tribeca. We don't realize what's going on in these New Jersey towns. It sounds like some tough stuff, Joe. Well, bridge washed out, he said?
If you watch the weather maps, you can see there's these little pockets of very intense rain. And you may not have seen it.
Right.
But apparently here, I mean, to get almost 8 inches of rain in a little over 2 hours, it's pretty intense. No matter what kind of preparation you have, it just can't drain that quickly.
No, it is unbelievable. Here's what Governor Phil Murphy had to say.
We're going to work together and try to find every available resource we can, local, county, state, federal. We won't leave any stone unturned.
And as John Ducey, the mayor of Brick, just told us, he did get a direct phone call from the governor. So they're on it. But I'm just I'm amazed about it. I mean, that's the concept of boats. You know,
boats
feet,
on streets. Yeah, I know.
He said 8 feet of water on those streets.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's pretty heavy duty. All right, as we approach the 9 o'clock hour, we've got terror in London, we got the president firing away, and guess what? Just what you wanted, some more Amorosa tape has come about. We'll play it for you all next. After the news, it's 9 o'clock.
Live from Tribeca,
this is Len Berman and Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
Morning, everyone. It is the 14th of August, 2018. Glad you could be with us. Michael Riedel is off, and we have Joe Bartlett here. And, well, I guess Amoroso goes on each different show and brings another tape to each show. So that's
what do we have today? More lies, fabrications, prevarication.
You don't like this Amoroso, huh?
No.
The president called her a dog in a tweet. Is that a nice thing to do?
Yeah, he probably could have been a little more polite, but she's close to it.
Okay. Do you think that was just another...
Come on, somebody... Look at what Trump did,
did you
for
say,
her.
I got an email from someone wondering if that meant... if that was his way of saying bitch.
maybe.
Calling her a dog. I don't know.
Look at all that he's done for her. Made her a star with The Apprentice. Got her a job in the White House. I guess, you know, helped set her up for business. And then she stabs him in the back like this?
Hmm.
It doesn't bother you.
Well, he only surrounds himself with the best people. You reap, you sow what you shall reap. Is that how the saying goes?
Reap what you sow.
Well, one or the other. or sow buttons. One or the other. Our big three stories this morning. The president goes after Governor Cuomo and Senator Gillibrand. How about that? And he ignores John McCain. So here he is signing the bill that's named for John McCain, but he can't get himself to mention his name because he's annoyed at McCain for giving the thumbs down on the health care vote. Also in the big three, that FBI lover Peter Strzok is fired. Trump's been tweeting all morning long, and he's gleeful, and Strzok is a fraud, and so is the whole Russia investigation, and he was the reason for the Russia investigation, according to the president. And rounding out our big three, they're still trying to dry off in New Jersey. Little Falls, who remains under a state of emergency, in a couple of minutes, we'll check in with Scott Pringle from the WR newsroom, who's in Little Falls.
Oh, good.
Hopefully
okay.
He brought his boots, mm-hmm. And we'll get the latest from what's going on the ground. We just talked to John Ducey, the mayor of Brick, and I mean, you just don't realize it's sitting here on dry land in lower Manhattan, but what a mess in some of these communities. People evacuated. They don't have insurance in that particular part of Brick. There's no flood insurance because they're supposedly on the high ground.
It was just a matter of the intense rain falling for extended periods of time. The drainage is not sufficient, and it's got nowhere to go. Just stay on the streets.
Yeah, and the president... just tweeting that FBI agent Strzok is a fraud. So was the rigged investigation, which he started. Did he start the investigation? I didn't know that. There's no collusion, no obstruction, blah, blah. Same old, same old. Anyway, and you know what I love is as soon as he tweets something, it's liked 6,000 times and retweeted 2,000 times.
Exactly.
Yeah, and I'm convinced he could tweet a fee-fi-fo-fum, and it would be liked 40,000 times.
I'm sure it would be.
Yeah. I love the email I got. You can always email us directly and individually and privately at our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. This listener who did not sign his or her name, just the email address, is upset with me because I'm so biased. And that phrase always I find interesting because are you biased, Joe Bartlett?
No.
You're totally unbiased?
No.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Fox News biased?
News? No.
Is
Fox News. You said Fox News.
Is the Fox News channel biased?
Well, they have opinion as part of their presentation.
So if I have opinion, that makes me biased.
Yes, because it's, yes.
Because it's not the opinion that this listener wants to hear.
Yes, then it becomes biased.
Because we have another listener who listens with one ear, and because I'm the only host on this radio station that leans a little bit left of center, that they don't want to hear that.
I think
wouldn't that be refreshing for some people to actually hear another point of view than the same old, same old, same old?
No, I think it's good that there are different points of view expressed on this program. I think the issue that they may have with you is you just seem to be unyielding. Is that there? It's always.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that could be it.
That's not true. But you have the gall to say you're not biased. When just about anything that comes up about Trump, you support or you criticize anybody who criticizes him, and you're not unbiased.
I'm trying to balance the coverage here.
Oh, that's what you're trying to?
Yes,
Very good. Okay. I mean, when Michael Riedel's here, you always agree with Riedel.
Well, okay, that keeps it balanced because you're so biased on one side. We need two to keep you
so biased.
Check.
So biased. Hey, so Omarosa.
Yeah, tell me this more Omarosa
stuff.
Yeah,
well, she's been making the rounds of the various shows. She started out on Meet the Press. Then she was on the Today Show. Next up, CBS's morning show. And each time she brings a little bit of tape that she secretly had in the White House. Now, this piece of tape, this is just, I don't know what to make of this. This is, she's talking with a couple of White House aides. Yeah, right. And they're speculating. This is the what if. So they're standing around talking, what if the president used the N-word and there's tape of it? What would happen then? And here's the recording.
I'm trying to find out at least what context it was used in to help us maybe try to figure out a way to spin it.
Ah, so they're discussing how to spin. So this is
she's diabolical.
So while she's in the White House, if the tape exists and she thinks it does, how are they, as White House staff, going to spin it? Mm-hmm.
I said, "Well, sir, can you think of any time that this might have happened?" And he said, "No."
Well, that's not true.
He goes, "How do you think I should handle it?" And I told him exactly what you just said, Omarosa, which is, "Well, it depends on what scenario you're talking about." And he said, "Well, why don't you just go ahead and put it to bed?"
He said it. What is all this?
She's trying to stir up trouble. By the way, there's a story in The Hill today that quotes Omarosa saying Melania can't wait to divorce Trump.
Really?
Yeah, The Hill is quoting Omarosa.
Is this part of the book?
Yeah.
Now, I'm sure the First Lady's office will put out a denial, but do you think there's any truth to that?
Well, she points out the First Lady uses her fashion choices to punish Trump,
I saw that.
The one about you don't care. Or something.
When she had the jacket that had the message on the back, "I don't care to you." Yeah, or something.
I don't know. I can't believe a thing this woman says.
No, but do you think that's a happy marriage?
There's probably some issues.
Okay, just checking. Hey, I think Jake in Flushing thinks that Joe is biased, and I tell it like it is, right, Jake?
Hey, hi guys, how are you?
Just great, Jake. How are you?
Good, thank you. My name is actually Berman also, so we have the same last name.
Oh, so you agree with me on everything, right, Jake?
No.
Yeah, so what's your point?
My point is that I'm fine with hearing other opinions, but what gets me when I hear you speak sometimes is that every time someone says anything about Trump that wants to defend him, you say, "Oh, there you go, defending Trump again," as if that you're not every time saying that going against Trump.
So I'm playing devil's advocate, Jake. That's all.
But that kind of gets me, because like, why can't he have his opinion? If he's defending Trump, why can't he defend Trump without you saying, "There you go, defending him again"? So I don't. That's what I think. Maybe being
okay.
Maybe think people saying that you're so biased that, you know, they're not letting them speak their opinion without you weighing in on, without like you impeding on that first.
I hear you, Jake. Thank you. And I think, by the way, I do it with you and Michael Riedel when I go, "There you go again," because I think you guys have a tendency to
accusing us of being pretzels and twisting into pretzels.
Right, and knee-jerking to the president.
Look, I mean, I've criticized Trump. I mean, I hate his tweeting. He'd be much better president, a more effective president, had he just stopped the tweeting.
I agree with that one. Scott Pringle is standing in the water, I think, in Little Falls. Scott, what does it look like on the ground right now?
Pretty bad, Len, actually. The water's all subsided, but it is just, I mean, you see all the mud in the street, and you really see just what's left over from the river here. And you've got lots of household items. I mean, they are just piled and piled up on people's front lawns and on the curbs here. It's just really sad to see a lot of water damaged items. I mean, you're talking washers, dryers, couches, even sheetrock. So that clearly means there's damage to the homes. And what we're hearing is there's about 200 homes here, maybe a little under that, that are damaged. And about three dozen of those, the town won't let people back in. They're saying that they're uninhabitable. So it's just a really sad situation, and residents are just left in shock, and now it's a battle with insurance companies.
You know, Scott, when I saw those pictures, it kind of reminded me of New Orleans after Katrina, with everybody piling up the inner part of their houses out on the sidewalks. For our listeners, describe this area. I mean, is it close to the water, and how far over the bank is the water at the moment?
Yeah, well, here's actually the situation here is you got the Passaic River and also the Peckman River. Now, the Passaic River runs somewhat in this area parallel to the Peckman, was I don't know, maybe a couple miles in between them. And this is the area in between those two rivers. Now, we're told here by officials that it was not the Passaic River that did this, it was the Peckman River that overflowed. And that was, you know, there's video out there that I'm sure everybody's seen by now, a lot of people have, of the car dealership, which is right by the Peckman River. There's a car dealership, and all these cars went into the river, about 40 or something, and then got stuck by an overpass, and that clogged the area, and that sent the Peckman River just overflowing into this neighborhood, which is low-lying here, and flooded all the homes. I mean, there were two residents that told me within 5 to 10 minutes that the water rose like 3 or 4 feet that rapidly, and they didn't have time to save anything.
All right, Scott Pringle from the WRN Newsroom. Thanks, Scott. Appreciate the update. Boy, that must have messed with the mud and belongings in their front yard. Awful. Wow. Crazy stuff going on. Okay, when we come back, let's throw the book at these creeps. Let's find them. Let's jail them. The roughing up of a subway conductor. This was just awful. But first, Bernie Viter has trapped.
And Michael Riedel in the morning.
On 710 WOR.
9:23. Happy to have you on board on a Wednesday. We got the some unforgettable videos that we're going to talk about in just a second. But the philosophical question came up before because a listener emailed me and was unhappy because the listener said I was biased. And my point is, isn't everybody biased? Depending on your point of view, you're biased one way or everyone's biased. I think Chris here in Manhattan. Help me out, Chris.
Hi, Len.
Hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing good. How you doing?
Good, thanks. I just, you know, listening to some of the commentary, I just wanted to say that I really think that you're one of the most thoughtful guys, not just on radio, but on all of media.
Wow.
And I appreciate your comment. I think we're all biased, but in this world where people are claiming that everything the other side says is fake, you serve in a very important function on this radio station and keep people honest and thinking about some of the positions they have. And
thank you.
Now, cheers to you.
Thank you. I shouldn't go back to sports like this person wants me to do?
Sure.
Well, fine. Okay, maybe I will. Thanks, Chris. Appreciate it. Why'd you roll your eyes, Bartlett? Guy calling me thoughtful, and you're rolling your eyes and making faces.
Well, you...
All right.
No.
That says it all.
No. You really, I don't think you see both sides sometimes. I know you try to. You do.
I try.
But you try.
I do.
But you don't.
I think a lot of people don't try.
You've never said, you've never even acknowledged that the economy is better because of Donald Trump.
I have said that.
All you keep pointing about, it started to go up with Obama.
It's what?
It started to go up.
It did. You got to be fair.
Had he still been in office, we would not be where we are today.
Well, you don't know
If Hillary, we would not be.
Well, don't start on Hillary. Yeah. Hey, Jennifer on Long Island, you wanted to weigh in for a second. What's up, Jennifer?
Hi, fellas. How are you?
How you doing? Good.
Good. Just wanted to first say, love your show. I think it's such a great balance with the three of you.
Thank you.
And even got my husband hooked. The thing that concerns me and really worries me is how not only you, I think everyone just kind of feeds into it, is Omarosa. Why is everybody feeding into this? Why give her so much time? She has no credibility. It's no different than Stormy Daniel. I mean, any of it, I don't understand. Let's get back to the politics. Let's get back to the issues. And all of this, just too much time spent on wasted issues.
All right, point taken. All
very
right.
good,
that's
Jennifer,
fair.
Absolutely.
That's
Omarosa
okay.
is, I mean, she has no credibility whatsoever. Half the stuff she says has been proven untrue. So you have to disbelieve everything she says.
Well, but she was the highest ranking African American in the West Wing, and you know obviously, and it has been pointed out by critics that if she was all positive about the president, then this wouldn't be getting the publicity. But when someone
she
takes
was
shots
all positive
the, well,
until
she
got fired,
until she wrote a book. Hey, we've got the subway situation with
this is awful.
Just, this is brutal. Where these you got to find these creeps, Joe.
Absolutely. Police have released this video of an assault by two subway riders on a conductor in Brooklyn. It happened Saturday about 4:40 in the morning inside the Grant Avenue A subway station. What happened was the conductor announced that his A train would be making express stops. Well, that angered a guy who obviously is going to miss his stop. He approached the conductor's booth.
From the outside. They're on the station. The conductor's in his
booth.
In
the train.
And they're punching. Why doesn't the conductor just close the window? They're punching the guy. Listen to this audio, Joe.
You hear the go, go, go?
Was there two of them or three of them?
There was a man and a woman who were both involved in this, but apparently some other people were saying, go, go, go.
Just disgusting.
People tend to get frustrated with the MTA in general, but, you know, you still have to act accordingly.
Yeah, and then this woman, listen, if you can hear it here. She's saying, get him, get him.
That was the other woman. There was a man and a woman. There is the video that has been released by the police, and they're looking for information from the public. Hopefully we can catch these.
Let's get these creeps. All right, so this video is on our website, 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. Do you want to hear one of the worst game show flubs maybe in history?
Sure.
This was on ABC's Sunday edition of the $100,000 pyramid. And the subject was people whose last name is Obama. Listen to this answer.
Evan and Tim for $50,000. Here's your first subject. Go.
Bin Laden.
The last name had to be Obama?
Yes, people whose last name is Obama, and he's saying Osama bin Laden.
Whew. Obama bin Laden.
Well, Evan didn't win the 50 grand. But
so how many Obamas would you get?
Right.
Melania Obama? No, not. Right. What's her name? Michelle Obama?
Yeah.
Malala? Barack? Malala?
No. Malia.
Malia?
Sasha.
Sasha?
And Barack, you heard of him?
Barack?
Yeah.
And their dog, Bo Obama.
We'll go with those four. Oi, Osama bin Laden. All right.
How do you not go Barack right off the bat?
Yeah, I know. First one, you go Osama. Right.
He finally did. By the way, he finally did remember and said Barack.
Bin Laden. Oh, okay, yeah,
right. Bin Laden. Obama bin Laden. All right. Time for the latest news headlines and the opening of the market. Let's go to Mike Bauer. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys. Terrorism is suspected after a man drove his car into security barriers outside the British Parliament. Scotland Yard's Neil Basu says this was deliberate.
The driver of the Fiesta, who was alone in the vehicle, was arrested at the scene by armed officers who were already nearby. The man is in his late 20s, and he's been arrested on suspicion of terrorism offences.
Two people suffered minor injuries. The crash happened in the same area where a man killed five people in March of last year. Water continues to fill the streets of Little Falls, New Jersey, where more than 100 homes have been damaged. More than 30 are completely uninhabitable because of flooding caused by torrential rain. Roselle says the water filled her living room up to the ceiling.
I almost got drowned. My mom was screaming, "Don't go in there," because the doors were closing.
She says that she's lost everything. And guys, get ready for the Ruth Bader Ginsburg action figure.
I'd like one of those.
There's no action associated with that woman.
No, that's great. She's sleeping, right? She's sleeping in a State of the Union address. That's the action figure.
The notorious RBG superheroes will go on sale in October after a successful crowdfunding effort. Zoe Cronin from Brooklyn hoped to raise $15,000, instead raised more than $600,000. Wow. He says they hit their goal in under an hour. The action figure is said to include wire-rimmed glasses to see through the partial BS and a righteous robe, the next big thing to a cape.
A righteous robe.
A righteous robe.
Well, Blaine, our producer, who's filling in for Natalie, was asking me in my headset, is she leaning left? Is that the action? Is that the
leaning
action?
Gosh.
Joe wants her lying down to the left.
I'll bet you that's going to be a success. That'd be a great little thing.
Planking left, certainly. Who else deserves in politics? I mean, you can't do Trump because that's pretty clear. Yeah. Does Mike Pence deserve an action figure?
Does she have a life support system alongside her, too? You better keep her alive there, Len.
Oxygen. I think the notorious RBG, definitely.
RBG.
Are they going to sell them at McDonald's with a Happy Meal? Or
yeah, that would be, you think kids would be, oh, what is this old person in mind?
It's a learning experience. Okay.
Oh, I think education and Happy Meal don't necessarily go together, though, Len. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, you're probably right.
Yeah. All right, let's take a
look. UOR.
And 9:39, we're just speaking about some of the great videos we have on our website at 710WOR.com/LennonMichael. This was on the $100,000 pyramid, which is hosted by Michael Strahan. And this was on Sunday's show. And the subject he had to come up with were people named Obama for $50,000.
Evan and Tim for $50,000. Here's your first subject. Go.
Bin Laden.
People named Obama.
Okay.
Bin Laden. That's what he came up with. Okay. He didn't win the 50 grand. Now, Terry in the newsroom pointed out that after they got Osama bin Laden, and that, by the way, that the last I saw, that was during the Obama administration. They got Osama bin Laden, and news people had trouble with that. Listen to this little stuff.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead.
Details that have never before been heard about how Obama was killed.
First, we had heard over through the media that a missile attack had killed Obama.
We're hearing that a U.S. helicopter actually went down near the attack where Obama was killed.
It started when Obama took office. He directed the head of the CIA to make killing Obama their number one priority.
Jeez.
Where are these people from?
I don't know. The fake news media, Joe. That's where they're from.
Exactly.
Killing Obama. Hey, by the way, I mentioned before the break that a nun was busted. This story is so wacky. A Missouri nun was busted in Australia for smuggling 2 pounds of cocaine using her high heels. Now, here's the kicker of the story. She claims she was duped by a man she met online. Now, wait a second. I thought nuns were not interested in men.
Only maybe, Jesus.
Well, Jesus isn't going to help her here because apparently she's part of a group, the Adorers of the Blood of Christ, and apparently she had a bad marriage. So this particular order is allowed to marry.
A nun is married?
Yeah, she was married. She had a bad breakup, and then she's carrying cocaine because she met a guy online. This nun should do a little introspection. Figure out what the hell she's doing.
It could be cloistered for a while.
Yeah, I think so. You wanted to talk about the Stand Your Ground because the guy's in court today.
Yeah, I'm so glad to hear this, that the prosecutor is going to bring charges in this case. This guy, 47-year-old Michael Draca, was let off when he shot and killed a guy who confronted him at a store. Actually, it's all started with Draca. Now, this guy, McLaughlin, parks his car in a handicapped spot.
Right.
His wife is in there. He's running in to get some candy for his kid. And then this guy, Draca, comes over and starts hassling the woman about parking in the handicapped spot.
Right.
So the guy, McLaughlin, comes outside, sees him hassling his wife, pushes him to the ground.
Hmm.
The guy pulls out a gun and shoots and kills him. And Florida says, it's okay.
So the guy who was pushed to the ground
pulls out a gun and shoots him.
Well,
he's walking away from him.
Yeah, but isn't the argument made that he was being threatened or intimidated by this guy?
He was not.
This wasn't
threatened.
A Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman.
No. This was no. There was
I saw the video.
There was a confrontation.
I saw the video.
There was no threat to this guy.
Yeah.
No bodily harm is going to come to him.
Well, at first they said stand your ground.
They did. Well, the sheriff said I can't bring charges. The prosecutor's bringing charges as of today.
Yeah, he's in court today.
The thing that bothers me about this stand your ground law, and especially with the guys like this guy, Michael Draca. Now, you walk around with a gun in your pocket, and it's concealed, and you go picking fights. And you know, and he did it before. He was hassling people at that store before.
But you go around picking a fight, Len,
and then when it goes bad, you shoot the guy. And they say, oh, that's okay, in Florida.
I know the Second Amendment people aren't going to be happy with this, but there's some talk of getting rid of that law in Florida.
I don't like that. How many
states have that?
I don't know.
Is Florida the only one?
They always seem to have these cases in Florida.
Well, Florida is always the case, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
but I'm glad the charges are being brought against this guy.
Yeah. It's from the video, it looked like the guy was... He did push him to the ground.
He
like kind of...
He was walking away from him.
Well, he had turned and started to take a step.
Yeah.
It wasn't like he had taken several
steps. He was going away from him.
Yeah, he was. Here's a crazy one. This was in North Carolina. Cheryl Bates is questioned by a police officer at Staples and wants to know what's under her shirt. Now, you know what's under her shirt? Twins. She's pregnant with twins. But this black woman, you know, they thought that she was hiding, that she was stealing stuff from Staples by sticking it under her shirts. Her name is Cheryl Bates.
Being pregnant is already high risk, and having to deal with that, that's just additional stress that I don't need.
Well, yeah, I can agree with that.
Well, she had an excessive baby bump. You can understand. Hey, man,
Not fair, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know.
Against the law to have such an excessive... What, are you kidding me, Bartlett? The lady's pregnant with twins. I can't believe...
But, you know, there's one thing when you see a pregnant woman, but she probably was way out there.
He asked what was under my shirt. Initially, I thought he was joking. So my response first was, twins.
Well, that's what it was.
Yeah.
That's what it was. So she lifted her shirt just a little to expose her belly so that she could see that she's just a regular pregnant person who is buying school supplies and not hiding them under her shirt.
I stepped aside from my transaction to speak with him, and he asked what was under my shirt.
Yeah, well,
so you suggest that she was confronted because she's black?
I'm going to say there's every day there's another incident.
Yeah.
Now, she happens to be black. I don't know if the person who confronted her was black or not, so I have no idea if it was a racial thing, but I'm just saying, how many times have people been stopped at a pool or stopped at this place or that place and their only crime is black? I mean, this is, and in 2018, this is happening far, far too often.
But the other thing, too, is now, race aside here, if you see a woman who has a very large bulge in front of her, you might say, oh, well, it's beyond a pregnant. And the manager
believes she could have been concealing merchandise.
Yeah, okay, fine. Right.
Yeah. Let's see.
It's twins.
The manager told her a lot of people have been hiding items in their clothing.
Okay.
Staples said in the statement the manager mistakenly thought a customer was shoplifting and asked the police officer to speak with her.
All right. Well, I think they follow protocol.
Okay. Very good.
But she just claimed she was embarrassed. It's going to traumatize her kids now?
She's not ready to accept the apology, and she is mulling legal action.
Getting myself an attorney.
There you go. Hey, how about this, you know, in light of that, the guy who killed himself in an airplane suicide out in SeaTac Airport. This is in Utah.
Yeah.
Did you see the story?
I did. It's wild.
A man, this is in Utah, flies a small airplane into his own home. Flew into his own home, obviously killed himself. It was a domestic dispute. Well, that's what you
that's
do.
That's one if way to resolve it, huh?
If you're having a problem
I'll be right back,
wife,
honey.
I'll be right back. Let me go get my plane and crash it into the house. Oh, my God.
Well, the good news is nobody got hurt inside.
Yeah, nobody. The wife was inside and a juvenile was inside the home. They escaped safely.
That's kind of crazy, though.
The deceased is identified as Dwayne Ude. Crazy.
You'd
done something dead. Yeah, you'd dead. Hey, coming up, Google is spying on you even when you turn it off. Now, this is fascinating. Even when you think you're not being followed, Google knows where you are. It's coming up next, and it's creepy. But first, Bernie Viteris Trap.
710 WOR.
And 9:53 coming up at the top of the hour is Mark Simone. Now, I guess you would call this an only in New York moment, and it's another video we have posted. Our assistant producer, Anthony, keeps coming up with these amazing videos, and you want to check them out at our website, 710WOR.com/Lenna Michael. Joe Bartlett, have you seen this before? A guy's on a subway, and someone gets out his cell phone because he just unpacks a stick of butter and starts eating it.
Ugh.
Is that something?
My gosh.
He's eating a stick of butter. Video was surfaced on Facebook on Sunday.
Nothing on the butter, just butter.
Just eating it raw, just packing away the butter. And this apparently this has drawn thousands of reactions, hundreds of comments. The guy just takes a huge bite out of the stick of butter without flinching. This is according to the Daily Mail. This is in the UK.
Maybe he's on the Atkins diet. You know,
one guy commented. He better be careful. That's not good for his health.
Geez.
But there were others who took offense at making fun. One person said, hey, when it's all you have, it's great. Some people don't realize how poverty works. Another one said, yes, he's on public transit, but he may not have money to get much, and butter's cheap.
I don't think butter's cheap. Does he have no money for bread or anything to put the butter on?
I can't imagine. Have you ever? I can't imagine taking a bite of butter. I love butter on bread, but
not
it has to
natural.
Be
on something, exactly.
Yeah. All right, what do you got?
I've got this story about the FBI warning about ATMs being hacked. Believe it or not, they sent out an ominous warning to international banks that cyber crooks are prepping for an ATM cash out. So what they're going to do is send malware to all of these ATM machines.
Right.
And just, boom, start taking money out. Now, I assume you're going to have somebody there to get it, right?
So this is all a simultaneous heist?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
I've often wondered about how the world would react, or even here in the U.S. or even the region,
sure.
If all of a sudden ATM machines were to be shut down.
Right.
How would you do it? I mean, if you couldn't get money out of an ATM machine.
Well,
most people don't have cash.
I understand that, but don't they have to be connected to the internet if you're going to hack them?
Mm-hmm.
So all these ATMs are somehow connected to the web?
Apparently so.
So they're going to worldwide all at once have a cash out.
FBI has obtained unspecified reporting indicating cyber criminals are planning to conduct a global automated teller machine cash out scheme in the coming days. Likely associated with an unknown card issuer breach. And the FBI expects the ubiquity of this activity to continue or possibly increase in the near future.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, that's scary. But I think this Google story that you were talking about, I think this is even crazier.
This is the one where they're tracking you when you say, please
possible?
Don't track me?
Right. Now, you could turn off your tracker. And I've done that. You want to have your location for Google Maps or whatever. And I always say no. But you
Why?
Say,
well,
I don't
Why
know.
Why would you say that?
I don't know. I don't like Big Brother. But you tell me, even though I turn it off, they know where I've been?
This is according to a story by the Associated Press. Yes, they have found that even though Google users with Android and even iPhones turn off, because the Google, you use it with Google Maps, the iPhone. If you turn off location services, meaning you don't want them to track you, they still keep track of where you're going, and then they sell that information. So if you've ever done this, there's a way, and I've only done it once. You go into your smartphone, and it can, if you go to like location services, it will show you where you have been, every spot that you stopped. I mean,
you're kidding.
Yeah. And if
I can go to my phone and find every, they'll show me where I've been everywhere?
Yes. I mean, in terms of what cities and what locations around the country
that
you've been to.
Some husbands and wives would like to get a hold of that.
I bet you they would if you knew how to get it. Absolutely.
Yeah.
I did it once, and I can't do it again, but I know there's a way that you can go in and it can identify all of the places that you stopped.
Mm.
That's a little crazy. Scary, isn't it?
It is scary, and it's scary that even though you turn it off, Google still has it on.
When I get in
this Big Brother thing.
Well, when I get in my car at the end of the day, it always knows I'm going home. It
tells
me
you.
How much time it's going to take.
I get that, too.
Yep.
And even though I've turned off the location.
And on Tuesdays, it knows I'm going to the golf course. It gives me directions to the golf course. It does.
When you get in your car on Tuesdays, it will tell you directions to the golf course. The other days, it's to home.
Yeah.
Oh, that's scary.
It is.
That is scary.
Hey, you know, there's times I've gotten into the car, like on a weekend, and it gave me the time to the supermarket where I was going.
Yeah. Yeah, that's crazy. Hey, the latest on that, London, they're suspecting terror. A guy drove a car, he's in his 20s, no ID yet, into a barricade by Parliament. He hit pedestrians and cyclists. He's been arrested. He had no weapons. The good news is, none of the injuries are serious, but the London police treating it as if it's terror. So this is, if that's what it was, thank goodness that the guy didn't kill anybody.
Do we have the name of the guy yet?
No ID yet. We don't know what his motive. Well, they're claiming it might be terrorism. Yeah, right. That's how they're treating it. Anyway, that's the latest from London. That's what we woke up to this morning. We wish the best to Aretha Franklin. The word is from her family. She's now in hospice in Detroit. Her family's around her, and the Queen of Soul may not be with us too much longer. But we thank you for listening, everyone. Thank you, Joe Bartlett. If you missed anything today, please check out 710WOR.com/Len and Michael. Coming up next is Mark Simone. We thank you for listening. See you tomorrow. It's 10 o'clock.